The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Ho, 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 ho! Dark Side of the Pooch, what you got, Dr. Ram?
Oh, yeah. This is a great show. This is a show all about your doggies, your kitties from the Rossbridge Animal Hospital. I'm Tony Curry. He's Dr. Rab Stewart. Their number is 205-208-0301 at Rossbridge Vet on Twitter and the Rossbridge Animal Hospital on Facebook. Of course, you can hear the show at least 5 days a week here on the TKR app, which is probably where you're listening to it now, or wherever you get your podcasts. We're available on every major podcast industry. Dark Side of the Pooch. Look for a picture of my blue healer with the Pink Floyd insignia around it, and you will find Dark Side of the Pooch. It's a great show. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net for your mutt mail questions. We got that. We're going to get an amazing super dog story. Abandoning our responsibilities. Ralphie the demon dog. Have you heard about Ralphie the demon dog?
No.
Okay, I'm going to get into that story. And also, Tom Brady has turned into that guy. We'll get into these stories coming up in just a few minutes right here on Dark Side of the Pooch. Always brought to you by Ed's Pet World, 979-1331. They've got all kinds of great exotic pets down there. I get all my fish down there. I just went and bought me a beautiful blue angel along with a couple of sucker fishes. I got my balboa down there. I got my gerbils from down there. I get everything down there, exotic pets. They got lemurs and ferrets and meerkats. I think whatever kind of exotic, caiman, alligators, whatever you want, they've got it for you down there. Plus, Seth is doing a wonderful job with his toy closet. As a matter of fact, he's about ready to expand, so we'll have some interesting news coming up here in the next couple of weeks. Check out all the wonderful boxed-up collectibles he's got when it comes down to everything from Star Wars to Star Trek, Battlestar Galactica, Legos, you name it. He's got it down there at Ed's Pet World in Homewood. Again, 979-1331. I wanted to read this story. I saw it this morning. A dog fell from the cliffs at Otterton Point. I'm not sure where this is at. I think it's in Scotland. The owner waded through the river mouth from the Budleigh Beach, then around Otterton Point to find the animal. But both the owner and the dog fell 130 feet onto the rocks. And he called 999, which is the equivalent of our 911, asking for the Coast Guard to come out, and both of them lived, and both of them are fine. Isn't that crazy? 130 feet, both the owner and the dog fell 130 feet onto the rocks, and they're both okay. Is that a crazy story?
Isn't that like 13 stories? Like, what's a story? 10 feet? If probably less than that.
Yeah, I think 11 feet, something like that. Of course, they use meters over there, so it's 40 meters, but still 100. Yeah, it's like a 10 or 11 story building. Can you imagine? Falling into the water would be one thing, but falling onto the rocks and you know, you think the human maybe, but the dog, that's pretty incredible.
People jump off bridges over water to kill themselves of a similar height.
I know, right?
Water. I mean, you could still easily die, I feel like. I don't know.
This almost was like a murder-suicide, but they both lived. This is Dark Side of the Pooch. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. I do have an interesting email question here from a gal named Jill, and it kind of goes along with this Ralphie the Demon Dog. So, evidently in New York, they have this wonderful adoption program on a local television station up there where they bring the dogs in. And of course, whenever you see a dog on television, everybody wants that animal because it's famous, right? I mean, if you could put every stray dog on television, we would have no issues with having stray dogs because everyone wants a dog that's been on television. And evidently, this couple adopted Ralphie the Demon Dog. They called it a demon dog because, quite frankly, it just had the terrible twos. It just would get into everything. And within 2 weeks, they gave the pet up and said they couldn't handle it. The dog was ripping up every shred of furniture they had. It was ripping up this guy's CD collection. I mean, it was just, and it was a, it looked like a bulldog, but it was having all kinds of issues. And Jill wants to know, is there any perfect way to know you'll have no personality conflicts with a new adorable pet? I know when you go into a shelter, and the Birmingham shelter here is really, really good. They allow you to have some time to spend with the animal, get to know a little bit, but again, it's not in your home. You're in a safe shelter. Maybe it's not showing you everything it's got. And then you bring it home and you just have a major personality conflict. And I had that with Freddy Dog. Now, Freddy Dog was not a dog that I went to look for. My son actually, it showed up on my doorstep. It was a 6 week old Basset Hound. And before you go, oh, this dog pooped, this dog shit my recliner, for God's sake. So let's just be honest with it. And I was like, dude. And I mean, that was the end of it. It did nothing against my wife. But it urinated and pooped in my bed. This dog did everything it could to get on my nerves. I had it fixed, thinking that was going to work on something. I saved those things and put them on top of the refrigerator just to get me through this. And I did everything I could to love this animal. And it just, we just clashed and I couldn't keep it. Is there anything to tell when you adopt a pet? I mean, I hate the fact that this dog, obviously they knew what they were getting when they got it, and there just was no way they could keep it.
When you got Freddie, do you remember how old he was?
I think he was about 6 or 7 weeks old. I mean, I think someone left him on our doorstep. And I told my son, listen, we're going to put up some flyers, and if someone doesn't come get him within a couple weeks, then we can keep him, knowing that someone was going to pick up this purebred dog, because he was beautiful. I mean, it really was, but I just wasn't a place in my life where I could have a pup like that. And he was hell on wheels.
There's no great way to figure out if they're going to be a problem or not. Even when they're young, but if you are in the market for a young dog, one of the best tricks that you can do is to put them in a position that will make them feel vulnerable and see how they act. So you can put them on their back. And just, you know, gently hold them there. You're not being forceful, but just keep them on their back and see what they do. If they don't try to bite you and they kind of lay there comfortably, then that's a really good sign that they're going to be okay with you being dominant and they're not incredibly fearful. But there's not a perfect way to know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just, you know, because normally when you're going to look, and again, whether you're going to the Birmingham shelter or any other shelter, do shopping, shop for your next animal. Listen, you could go into any animal and to know what it's been through, and you're going to have your heart sink for that animal. And you're going to want to pick the first thing, but you really can't do that because you really don't know how they're going to react when they get out of your home. The other thing is, you know, we say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. When it comes into a situation, it's coming into a home that it's not used to. You may have other animals in the house. You may have animals on either side in your neighborhood and don't know what your fencing situation is. So if you go into a situation, I would think that you would lay down the ground rules, right? I mean, according to the way you live, hey, I work every day. This is what we do. We kennel train you. These animals aren't used to being disciplined at any level. How does that affect them?
If they're not used to discipline and they're not used to your home, then I mean, maybe you're going to have some trouble getting them to do what you want to do. But you can, I believe that dogs can be trained when they're older. You know, it was just last week we had a lady who, she adopted a dog, and it was a little bit like one of these, you know, demon dogs that you're talking about. And she ended up, you know, having to take it back to the shelter that she got it from. But she tried everything, you know, she tried to get a trainer and she tried some medication from us and it just didn't work. You know, she had started a new job that, she worked from home and she just could not give the dog what it needed. So the dog would leave her alone and let her work. So, you know, I was unfortunate and I hated it for her and the dog because it's a very sweet lady and, you know, a dog that wasn't aggressive, but just a dog that didn't know how to chill out no matter what we did. So, you know, an unfortunate situation, but it happens.
And I think it's super important too. And we've talked about this on Dark Side of the Pooch here, brought to you by Ed's Pet World. You know, they're different breeds. I mean, I know that if you're getting a mutt, you're getting mixed breeds, it's kind of more difficult, but there are different breeds. I mean, if you get an Australian Shepherd like we got, as opposed to a Multipoo, one's going to be a little more lazier than the other. And as they get a little older, you know, if you're just looking for a lap dog, you probably don't want to get an 80-pound Marmaduke. It's probably not going to work for you. So things to think about. Dark Side of the Pooch, at Dark Side of the Pooch. Of course, you can find us on our website. Also info at TonyCurryRadio.net, and also Rossbridge Vet on Twitter and the Rossbridge Animal Hospital on Facebook. We got some more email questions coming up here in just a few seconds. I do a lot of research for this show. You'll never tell me I'm not prepared for the show. And so I go, usually I look at pets, and then I look at pet news, and I look at all, and then I look at news, and there's like a million different pet things. And I went to, I think it was CBS News, and I just want to read you like the top six headlines I read this morning. Can I do that for you?
Yeah.
First headline, Singapore surge in abandoned pets. Number two, abandoned pup immediately rolls over for rescuer. Number three, as abandoned pets pour in, Louisiana shelter gets desperate. Number four, why owning a pet is good for the body and mind. Number five, alligator pulled from Brooklyn Lay Lake was abandoned pet. And then number six, it's never okay. It's never okay. Pets being abandoned in Rogue Park are not all right. Am I spending too much time looking at pet news? Is that why I'm seeing so much abandoned story? Has this always been an issue, or do we just have way too many pets right now because of COVID and people are just letting their animals roam?
Well, the first thing I'm going to say is I'm glad that you do show prep, because that makes one of us. I just kind of show up.
Well, and you're the boss, man. You're the smart one here.
No, you do. Yeah. I mean, you always bring good stuff to the table. The veterinary industry is being overrun. They are short staffed. There is a lack of staffing in just about every position. And I know that in the world right now, that's kind of par for the course because of the, everything that's happened. But I think that the all the shelters being overrun makes sense to me because all the veterinary practices are overrun. So, shelters exist for a reason, and it's for stray pets. And when people get more pets, there's going to be more stray pets. You know, it just stands to reason. So I can't say for certain, why this is happening, but I would assume that it is because a lot of people got dogs during COVID, and some of them just don't stick.
Yeah. It's really unfortunate because, a lot of people, I'll use this in human terms. If someone abuses an animal, they have about a 75% better chance at abusing a human being later on in their life. I mean, when you get to psychiatrists and stuff and they ask you the question, have you ever abused an animal? And you say, yes, you're going to have some issues. And abandoning an animal is abusing an animal. And I absolutely hate that. I really do. Because if you don't have compassion and responsibility for any life, period, that says a lot about you. So it's really unfortunate that a lot of people, I understand there's going to be earthquakes and I know people are going to have issues, but hell, I had a box of damn kittens over here at the house. We gave birth to kittens and we found homes for them within a week. Pick up the phone, make some phone calls. People will help you out. Now I can't control what they do with those kittens, but I trust the people that called me back. And there are ways to do this. Just to leave them in a box by the shelter in hopes that they get to the right place is not a good thing. He's Dr. Rab Stewart. Don't mean to get preachy. It just bothers me. And I probably wouldn't have felt. I probably wouldn't have felt the same way 15, 20 years ago. Maybe I don't know, but I know how important animals are, and I know that people that love their pets and that are willing to invest the time. I think that's the one thing. Not to get in my soapbox, but I think a lot of owners, including this person who took Ralphie the demon dog, I think they end up realizing, they look themselves in the mirror and go, "This animal is not reacting the way I want it to because I'm not putting the time into this animal." And I promise you, it's like a child. If the more time and responsibility and discipline you give that thing, whatever it is, the better it will treat you in return. Most cases. I mean, there are some demon. There are some demon children out there. I got news for you. It doesn't matter how hard you try. They just don't get it. And there's demon dogs out there too. But, and that was my love lost with Freddie. I look back in that animal. I saw him 5 years later and I felt so bad that I gave him up. He was in a very happy, wonderful situation. So I was happy for him. He knew who I was, but I just was not in a position to take care of that animal at the time. And I felt really bad about it. So, lesson learned. All right. Info.
It shows a lack of empathy. It's a huge lack of empathy. If you can just take a take a pet and just like abandon it. You know, forget the abuse, forget the physical abuse. I mean, that's just like, you know, that's like sociopath level. But, you know, it's just you have no empathy if you just turn one out. And I think most people at some point they've looked at their dog and said, all right, if you puke on the rug or you pee on the rug or poop on the rug or get into the garbage one more time, I'm going to put you directly in the road. Yeah. And, you know, no one really means that, no. You know, but when you get a pet, unless it's a reptile or a, you know, an arachnid,
yeah,
or fish. Yeah. I mean, a pet is going to do something that bothers you at some point. Yeah, it's going to tear something up, or it's going to poop in the house, or it's going to throw up, or it's going to get sick. And if you haven't thought about that before you get a pet, if you haven't thought through the bad things that can happen, then you need to do that. And if those things are really off-putting for you, then you don't need to get one.
There you go. And you cannot flush your dog down the toilet when it dies. It just doesn't work.
Nope.
Today, by the way, is National Love Your Pet Day, which I just found that right before we did the show. I texted you and I was like, how perfect is we're doing Dark Side of the Pooch here, brought to you by the fine folks at Ed's Pet World, in business for nearly 50 years down there in Homewood for all your exotic pets and even your toys. Seth's Toy Closet is getting after it. And I'm so happy and blessed to have Dr. Rav Steer of the Rossbridge Animal Hospital walk. We've been this journey every single day. We've had just a great run and we continue to do so. I've got to tell you, did you see Tom Brady? He was on Instagram. Of course, he's retired now. He's divorced. Did you see his Instagram this morning?
No, I'm not on the gram, but I want to know what he did.
Tom Brady is now that guy. He made a post of his two new additions to his household. He's got Siamese mix kittens in the house.
Oh, now, Tommy boy.
Now, I've got several guy friends who have been through relationships. It's always after they get divorced. They're in their 40s, Tom's 45, and next thing you know, they're posting pictures of them with their cat on the kitchen table, and I'm like, dude, what happened? When did you lose them? Have they gone back up into your pelvic area? What happened to you? What does that say about a middle-aged man who adopts cats for the first time in his life?
Well, I wonder if there's a... if there's a woman behind this adoption.
Yes, you know? Yes, but, go with it. Know, go, baby, go.
Maybe there's already a woman, you know, in the picture with Tom, and she wanted a couple of cats. And so he was happy to oblige her. Now, if that's not the case, and I was the veterinarian in Tom Brady's zip code, I would want Tom Brady to get any pet, because I would want Tom Brady to be a client of mine. So I could say, guess who came in my office
yes.
today?
Yeah.
Tom Brady.
Yes. See, now I look at Tom Brady, 7 Super Bowls, badass on the football field, and then he adopts a couple of cats, a couple of kittens nonetheless, Siamese mixed kit, and I'm going to myself, really? But then I'm thinking to myself, you know, Tom B12, he is a very calculated cat himself. And maybe Tom realizes that, you know, you can leave the house for 3 or 4 days, just put out the litter boxes and be good to go. Maybe he didn't want if he couldn't have the responsibility of having a wife around him 24 hours a day, maybe he didn't want the responsibility of having a puppy. And so he thought, you know, kittens are the next step. I don't know, but it'd be really interesting. I need to get Dr. Josh Claypo in here to, fawn through the brain of Tom Brady and figure out what he's thinking.
You know, Tom Brady is not a very, when I say he's not a sympathetic character, I don't mean that he's evil or anything like that. I just mean that it's hard to feel sorry for someone who is a 7-time Super Bowl champion. I don't know how many MVPs he has. I don't know how much money he has. It's a lot. He was married to a supermodel for I don't know how long. It's hard to feel sorry for a guy like that. But when you look at what has happened to him over the last couple of years, I do feel a little bit bad for him.
Life
he
happens.
Lost his supermodel wife.
Life
he
happens.
Is no longer in the NFL. His last season was not very good. And, you know, after they got divorced, the first thing that you see with her is she's out in the Caribbean with some other dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tom, get your kittens, man. Life's too short. Have a good time.
You know what? You're right. You just flipped me on that, because I'm with Tom. I don't feel sorry for him. He's going to make $375 million, by the way, in a 10-year deal with Fox. So, yeah, he's good to go. You would have to think, though, that if at that age, outside losing all of his money, Tom's probably going to have a pretty good next 45 years of his life. So I think he's going to be okay. And I like your idea of having a woman behind these Siamese mix kittens. I think you may be onto something there. That's good. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. He is Dr. Rev Stewart, Rossburg Animal Hospital. They're the best, man. Check them out. It's called a hospital, but it's a veterinarian office. They do everything. They'll take care of your doggies and your kitties. And we get some great emails, and I've got a couple of them this week. Jill from Munford wants to know, what's the best? We've actually gotten this question before, and I'm fixing to do it this afternoon. What's the best way to get cut your dog's nails? And does it hurt? We always think that if we cut them too short, it's going to hurt. Big time, like we're cutting skin. What are we cutting if we cut our dogs too thin or too long or too short? And what can we do to make sure those? Because I know my dog's been licking his feet a lot, and I'm thinking it's because his nails are getting too long.
It's just like trimming our nails. They have a quick, you know, and if you cut it too short, the only difference is that it will bleed a lot because dogs have a their nail grows over the tip of their finger, so that's actually considered a bone, you know, underneath there. And if you cut it too short because there's a lot of blood supply, it's going to bleed a lot. But that's okay. I mean, it happens. It, even when we do it, sometimes you'll trim one too short, and usually when we trim it too short, it's because it's a dark colored nail and you can't see how far to cut it back. If your dog has clear nails and pink nail beds, then it's really easy to see, and you're very rarely going to take too much to make them bleed unless they move or jerk or something when you're trying to trim it. So if you have a dog with dark colored nails, it's going to be trial and error. You're going to make at least one bleed almost every time you cut them. Yep. And so when you get them too close, yes, it definitely hurts. I wish there was a way around it, but there's just not. And if you don't get it too short, I don't think there's any pain involved, but of course I'm not the one to ask, and the one to ask won't tell us because that's the dog itself. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of dogs that just hate it. And I think it has to do with the restraint. I think it has to do with the noise. I don't think that it's painful as long as you don't cut it too short.
Okay. Thank you, Jill in Munford. Tim in Cincinnati, Ohio, my old walking grounds here, says, I'm a very busy person, but I love my pets. He said, but I love taking my dog out for a walk, not a sniff. He said, I've been told by my veterinarian that the things that dogs love most is let them do whatever they want on the leash. Let them sniff every little pile of poo. Let them sniff every pole. That's what they really, really like. He said, but I'm trying to get some exercise, and I'm trying to get my dog some exercise. Can we find a happy middle ground?
Yeah, I mean, you can. If your dog will allow you to. You know, sometimes the dog puts his nose down, and it doesn't matter how hard you pull. You know, he or she is not coming with you.
Yeah.
But I'm with him because if I'm going to walk my dog, I want to go on a walk. I don't want to, you know, get basically 30 feet from my house, and that's as far as we make it. And we've been outside for 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can try your best, but I mean, if the dog just wants to sniff everything, it's going to be tough to stop him or her.
I almost feel bad. It's almost like taking a drug addict into a crack house and telling them they can't do anything. I mean, it really is. I mean, they will just sniff, and sometimes they'll sniff for 10 seconds and then they'll stop. And I'll allow them to do that 5 to 7 times a walk. And then finally, I'll just start walking down the middle of the street because there's nothing to sniff in the middle of the street.
Well, that's what I was going to say is the only way to try to keep them from sniffing as much as possible is to not walk them in natural areas.
Yeah. Good luck doing that. Okay. Lila in Inverness has a 7-year-old multi-poo. And says that recently the dog is just shaking uncontrollably. Like for the minute they get out of bed in the morning, the thing is just shaking. The weather hasn't changed. And it's just, it's not a shaking type of dog. And she wonders what's wrong with it. Do you have any clue?
Well, first thing, I would just have it checked out by a veterinarian and let them do a physical exam. And based on what they see with that, you know, maybe some blood work, or if the dog is painful somewhere, maybe some x-rays. But we do get that occasionally. People come in and say, you know, my dog is just shaking, you know, or shivering or whatever. And most of the time, the dog is just nervous. there's something going on that's making the dog nervous. They're a little bit anxious about something. Maybe there's construction going on next to the house, or, you know, some dogs are just petrified of life. Yeah. But that has to be a diagnosis of exclusion, meaning that you have done everything that you can to be sure there's not something seriously wrong or something that's treatable outside of, you know, an anxiety of some kind.
All right. Dark Side of the Pooch brought to you by the wonderful folks down there at Ed's Pet World, in business for nearly 50 years, 979-1331. You could find Dark Side of the Pooch's Dr. Rab Stewart at the Rossbridge Animal Hospital, Rossbridge Vet on Twitter, and the Rossbridge Animal Hospital on Facebook, 208-0301. Final question is from Tony and Hoover, and yes, that's me. All right. So, you know, I got these neighbors. By the way, Cat Watch is like on its 100-and-something day. It ain't coming back. But my next door neighbors have six dogs. For the most part, they don't bark in the middle of the night. They're not outside the middle of the night. Certainly when it rains, I don't hear them at all because they're not outside and I'm not outside either. So it doesn't make any difference. But for example, today we're recording the show. It's beautiful and 70 degrees. They've been barking nonstop. And I was talking to my daughter and she said, you know, we should go ahead and buy them some dog bark collars. And maybe that help. Here's my question. They have two dogs. One's got a disability. It's only got three legs. Her name is Scarlett. And then there's one called Dusty, who's blind. I mean, the eyes are white and it's older. It's probably about 14 or 15 years old. Would bark collars work on either one of those animals at their age and with the disability they have? Could it be a painful type of thing? And do bark collars work on any animal?
They would work. I don't see why they, because they would eventually get the hint that every time they bark, you know, something negative.
Can you explain real quick how they work? Because I know we use one on our blue heeler and it worked fantastic. Dog doesn't bark at anything. Now, if it doesn't have the collar on, it knows it can bark, which is pretty amazing. But can you tell people how they work?
Well, some of them will spray something on them if they bark, and some of them will give them a buzz if they bark. And then there are some that are handheld remotes and you just control it yourself. You know, if they bark, you know, if they're inside and they bark, you can give them a little buzz. So that's how they work. But I mean, dogs are pretty smart, and, you know, I think most of them are going to learn once that happens. Every time I bark, this negative reinforcement happens.
Yep.
And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that don't believe in negative reinforcement. And I understand that. But if you, if you look at the world that we live in as people, there are two types of reinforcement. There's positive and negative. Mm-hmm. And I think that both of them have a place in this world. Like if you do well at your job, you're going to have a positive reinforcement. You know, you're going to get a promotion or a raise or maybe just a, hey, good job. But if you do a bad job, then you're going to get fired, or you're not going to get a raise, or you're going to have to answer to your boss. Like, you know, I cannot envision a world with people where negative reinforcement does not exist.
Yep.
And that's why I believe that there are times where negative reinforcement is something that can be helpful in animals.
Amen, brother. Great show. Tell people how they can find you. Hello.
Hey, Tony, did I lose you?
Yeah, good. Tell people how they can find you.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, you can reach us 205-208-0301. You can find us on Facebook, Rossbridge Animal Hospital, or you can email us at rossbridgeanimalhospital@gmail.com.
And keep the questions coming. info@tonycurryradio.net. Of course, our show every week is brought to you by Ed's Pet World, right down there in beautiful Homewood. They've redone the streets, plenty of parking down there, 50 years in the business. Exotic pets, man. Easter's coming up. We got Mother's Day coming up. They got rabbits, chinchillas, ferrets. They got cockatoos. They got caiman alligators, water turtles, snakes, tarantulas, the whole nine yards, man. It's just beautiful down there. I love it down there. And Angie and Seth do wonderful work. And they got Seth's Toy Closet. He sells all these wonderful exotic and collectible toys still in the box. If you found some in the attic, he buys, sells, or trades. He goes all over the country to do that. It's about a 50-50 shot down there. So you get our toys. Kids love those toys and exotic pets. Dr. Rab, I love you. Have a great week.
Love you, man.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.